wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome back to the Gridiron, guys. It's Zach here, your host. And this week I'm joined by a special guest. We have Josh Groudon, as some of you may actually know him as the kicking consultant. He's a former GWS Giant, an LSU punter, and a current AFL NFL kicking coach. And I suppose we could probably even throw in a bit of a TikTok star.
Yeah, I guess that's where it all started, mate.
Yeah. I mean, look, going back to sort of your early days, you're an Adelaide boy, is that correct?
Country SA, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, I mean, going through it looks like obviously being with the Giants when they started, you were sort of involved with a lot of rep footy growing up?
Yeah, spot on. So, from like club level through the like different pathways, made my way into like Adelaide and then state teams and then AIS and then the Giants.
Yeah, okay. So, sort of what area, about what time, you know, did you sort of get an idea that, you know, maybe I've got a real chance of making, you know, a living out of this or getting picked up by someone?
Yeah, so it's always been my dream. And then I guess when I made the state under 16s and got picked up for the AIS, that's when I, was like, okay, this is it.
Yeah, yeah, might have taken this sort of seriously, hey?
Oh, no, I'd always taken it seriously. But I was like, no, this could actually is looking like it's coming into fruition.
Yeah, and I suppose looking up, you didn't actually go through the draft, did you? You were sort of picked up as about a group of dozen or so, I think it was, as 17-year-olds on the Giants list. Was that, I suppose, like, you know, missing out on the draft is probably good because, you know, you don't have to worry about that anxiety and worried about getting picked up. But, you know, did you sort of feel like you missed out a bit there?
Potentially, yes. Just in, the fact that, you missed the draft night and obviously that's when a lot of, people, you know, you learn about those players. So it didn't really bother me. You know, I'd rather have an extra year on an AFL environment, which is what we got, than going through the draft. But definitely, like when those new draftees came in, they always got like a little bit better treatment because So it was an interesting one.
Yeah, so I mean, early NEFL days, how did you guys find that? Because you were sort of out there basically building an elite team from the ground up. You know, you're going around playing local Canberra, Sydney and Queensland teams. But you had a few guys around you as well, like Jeremy Cameron, I think, Dylan Shiel, and even that was back when, you know, Israel Folau played. We sort of forget about that sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So, the first year we didn't really have any of those AFL guys. And, it was a different experience, but something I couldn't really compare it to. Like, it wasn't like I'd been on an AFL list before. So it was all just a bit, I guess exciting and knowing that things were going to be changing in the future. So when those AFL guys came on, that was like, oh, this is cool. We moved more to the city and every year just got better and better.
Yeah, it just got bigger and bigger. And looking at your career, you unfortunately sort of went down with some leg and hip injuries. That probably would have been a bit, I suppose, devastating to not actually get on the field for them.
100%. So, breaking my leg wasn't fun. And then the two hip surgeries just to top it all off. But I guess, you know, at the time, devastated. But now I look back and it's kind of shaped my path and, you know, grateful kind of that it happened because it led me to punting.
Yeah, and I suppose sort of leading into that, how long did it take you after having those injuries or, I think, you know, looking at punting and finding that that was a viable option, I suppose?
I was tossing out what to do and one of my best mates at the time told me about punting and it was as simple as trying out with Pro Kick Australia and Nathan Chapman saw the potential in me and, a year of training.
And I suppose, did you always had your eye maybe on college football or NFL as a youngster, you know, watched it anything before that, or was that sort of your first exposure to it?
No, I was a massive fan. So I was watching like NFL and even college football as a young teenager. So I'd even bought like I bought a bunch of college football shirts, and one was an LSU shirt before I even knew about Pro Kick Australia. So as soon as it came around, I was like, oh, that's me 100%.
Yeah, perfect. It just works out sometimes, doesn't it?
Spot on.
How did you find that sort of transition from footy to punting? You know, did you have like a bit of a booming boot when you were growing up, or was it, you know, a real big change to your mechanics and things?
Definitely a change to the mechanics. I wouldn't say I had a massive kick, longer than average, than the average person. So, yeah, just through some fundamental technique changes with Nathan Chapman, again, at Pro Kick Australia. Like, he's an absolute guru. And, yeah, you just kind of – we all, as Aussies playing footy, we have that innate ability to kick, but it's very different. You've got to kick off two steps. You've got to kick a much more pointier ball that just is not forgiving. You've got to do it quickly. So, yeah, those techniques, it's almost like we had to break old habits, which is sometimes harder than if you were just to start out having never kicked before.
Yeah.
But then when you get the fundamentals and after a good chunk, then you can just get a bit more like natural with it.
Yeah. And so did it take you sort of long to get through, I mean, working at Pro Kick to sort of get that initial offer?
Yeah, so about 9 months. And then it was getting offers from a few colleges, yeah.
And what sort of, I suppose, how many did you get? Did you get many? And what sort of stood out to, you know, make you sort of look at LSU?
Well, it doesn't take much to consider LSU. I had a handful, but from the start, it was Texas State. And that looked like a really fun college. Their campus has a river that goes down it, which you can float down, and, you know, not massive, but just like, would have been, you know, you'd be like probably somewhat of a big fish in a small pond. But then LSU, you know, if anyone, I'm sure the listeners would know about LSU. So yeah, tossing up between those two. The only difference was like Texas State had offered straight away, whereas LSU were like, we're going to wait and see if we have a scholarship to offer. And then it was like maybe 2 or 3 months, or if that, maybe within the month, they're like, yeah, we've got one. And I was like, yeah, bang, thank you.
Yeah, and it's pretty much just turn around and just go straight away.
Yeah, more or less. It was actually crazy. They flew me over for an official visit. Yeah. Even though I'd verbally committed, they're like, oh, we'll fly you over. And I spent the weekend there. So I spent more time traveling than I actually spent there, but it was an absolute amazing experience.
Yeah, and I mean, how'd you find the initial difference? I know you were only at the Giants for a short period and they were just starting out, but I mean, you know, look, between like sort of the locker rooms and the facilities in comparison, it just seems like they just blow them out of the water, even for something like college football.
Oh, well, yeah, college football is massive. So I guess that's the one thing that you need to kind of not compare it to college sports in Australia or university sports.
Yeah.
But yeah, even now, like I was back at the Giants just past year, and while their facilities are really nice, they're not nowhere near like LSU. They're kind of like on level with a good high school football team in America. So yeah, just the money involved is crazy. So if, you know, if we had a bigger population and, you know, the more money was involved because of it, then AFL would be, you know, on that level. But it's just, yeah, hard to compete with 320 million people.
Yeah, it's just a bit of a size thing. And I mean, initially when you sort of first got in, did you find any, you know, issues with, did they sort of, you know, pick you out of the locker room a bit because you're Australian, you know, you're a bit different and things like that?
So I was the third Aussie at LSU, third punter. So yeah, it is only really a few of the guys in my class who hadn't met an Aussie before. When I say my class, like my freshman year, so guys who hadn't met the previous punter, but still, yeah, like everywhere you go, like whether it's out to a restaurant or, you know, the library or something, you know, they hear the accent and they're like, yeah, they've never met an Aussie before, so yeah, a bit of a novelty for them.
Yeah, it's always a bit of fun. And I suppose looking at your first year, so your first competitive game, and I think this is kind of a cool thing about Pro Kick. A lot of the guys, often their first competitive game can be, you know, in the college football atmosphere. And I mean, yours yourself was that home game against Wisconsin where there's about, you know, what, 100,000 people? That would have been, I mean, probably a little bit daunting.
Yeah, so that was a away game. So,
oh, was it? Oh,
yeah, so we played at Lambeau Field. Mutually, oh, you're right. Yeah, Lambeau Field, I don't want to say mutually a mutual ground. More,
that's probably theirs,
more,
yeah.
More for them. But the year before, they'd played LSU at Texas. So it's kind of like one of those arrangements where it's like, yeah. But anyway, Lambeau Field. So that's pretty crazy, like NFL stadium. So, yeah, it was weird. It was a weird experience. It just happened so quickly. Like you can, you know, I was there for a whole season before, got to redshirt, and then, yeah, nothing really. I don't say nothing prepares you because you can be prepared, but it's just like, wow, like it just blink of an eye and almost the 3-hour game's over. It's crazy.
I suppose like looking at the other places you played, did any of them stand out like that day? And I especially in the SEC, like those schools are huge, aren't they?
Yeah. So, I mean, home LSU games are crazy. Like Alabama, when Coach O first took over that year, like that was a massive game. Going to Florida, the Auburn walk-off, like walk-off field goal game, like, you know, absolutely silencing like 90 plus thousand. Some, yeah, stadiums and experiences that definitely, you know, will be in my memory forever. I think the Auburn games are great, actually, both home and away, having mates come over from Australia to watch, and those games are always really close.
Yeah, genuine experience. And I mean, so you sort of built through those first, you spent 3 years at LSU. Your first year, you guys were pretty competitive. I think you only lost like 3 or 4 games. And you start moving towards your second and your third year. And that's sort of when it looked like LSU was really building, like the Joe Burrow era. What was it like being involved in that?
Yeah, special. Joe was an absolute class act, and you could, yes. Just the aura around him was pretty crazy. Still, yeah, you just never knew like that'd be so good, you know. Like even there, I think Coach O was doing a great job getting the right people in place, and you could definitely sense that from coming from Coach Miles to then him. And his first full time year was a bit okay, and then it just built and built. So yeah, they did a great job.
Did you ever get the temptation to sort of go up to Coach O and maybe show him any old footy highlights of yourself and maybe say, oh, you know, do you want to put the ball in my hands maybe once every now and again?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I mean, and then looking at, obviously, you finished up at LSU in 2018 and you moved to West Virginia. Was that due to a grad year, or were you sort of just looking to move on to elsewhere?
Yeah, it was a weird one. So I'd graduated and I come to realize that I was eligible for a Category B rookie for AFL, because if you haven't played footy in 3 years, like you're eligible. It's not just for like Irish players or Americans. So I was like, you know what, like I'm mid-20s, like it's either now or never. And like I wasn't going to be able to get really any more education in America because I only had 1 more year left.
So I was, yeah, going to come home, and then the guys at Pro Kick Australia were like, hey, we need someone to go to West Virginia because the guy they had planned to go there had pulled out. And it was really like I was the only one. Like I was already in America, and like he literally pulled out the day he was supposed to go. So I was like, I've already got my flight back home. But it was just kind of one of those things where it was like, I love Nathan and Johnny at Pro Kick Australia and would do anything for him. So when that kind of came up, it was just like it was meant to be. And yeah, I get to West Virginia midway through camp and had a great, fun, enjoyable year.
Yeah, like, I mean, you had a great year yourself. So it wasn't sort of tough, you know, leaving LSU the year that they won the Natty.
Yeah. Had I gone back to Australia and not been on an AFL list, I probably would have, and watched LSU win, I probably would have wanted to kill myself. but have the fun I did at West Virginia, like no regrets whatsoever.
Yeah, and I suppose sort of finishing up at West Virginia, did you, you know, ever have any, you know, offers or ideas to go to NFL or Canada or overseas and continue on pro?
Yeah, so I knew from the start that I didn't have like a massive leg, NFL standard leg, but, you know, I was like, oh, let's just do the combine, like the pro day at West Virginia and see what happens. But yeah, definitely more leaning towards the Canadian Football League. But yeah, COVID just cancelled everything. So just came back home.
Yeah. And so was that what led to you starting up the page?
The kicking consultant?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
So I had moved back home and after some time had passed, Nathan had asked me to head up like the Adelaide hub for Pro Kick Australia. So I was doing that and loving it, like really, really enjoying the technical aspect of coaching. Like I've always loved, I got my degree in sports science, got a master's in high performance sports. So I'm a biomechanics nerd. I love it. And so then someone reached out and wanted help with kicking. And I was like, yeah, well, I know how to kick a foot in. I can use what I've applied in punting and sports science. And yeah, just started posting videos of that on my TikTok. And I'd already had kind of like a website up and running for some other stuff. And yeah, just was getting emails and emails. And I was like, okay, like I'm onto something here, and realized that there wasn't really anyone doing kicking coaching. And it was definitely what I was passionate about and knew what I was good at. So yeah, that's kind of how it all started.
Yeah. And I mean, perfect sort of storm there as well with COVID kicking through and everyone just rolling into TikTok. But you sort of say you gained a little bit of stardom there. How'd you go with that? I know, especially like some of the comments you see some of those guys leaving, it can be a little bit obviously positive sometimes, but there's the negative side as well.
Yeah. Well, I guess the negative, like as it's grown and then going over to Instagram, you're like, get all these armchair experts that think they know everything. And I'm like, okay, well, you go make videos then. Like, but yeah, it'd be funny. I'll be like out at a restaurant or, you know, and someone will be like, are you the kicking consultant? Can you check out my mate's torp? Or like, or I'll be driving, like I'll be having a lesson with someone and they'll drive by, hey, kicking consultant. So yeah, you get moments like that are pretty cool. More, I'll probably actually legitimately, people know more about me now after my playing career. So I'll take that.
Yeah, well, I got to say, like, that's probably, I think I kind of remember there being like guys obviously over at LSU, but definitely like when seeing you on TikTok and things like that, that's when we sort of followed you a lot more for sure. Like, so it certainly put you in the limelight.
Yeah, there you go.
And I mean, there was that one, I know there's a couple of guys you sort of met up with. I know you've done some stuff with Prime Train. That must have been pretty good. He seems like a really good dude. And then there was a fair bit there as well, like on the TikTok I noticed around like State of Origin time, with a lot of people trying to compare, you know, the punting side of it with Matt Burton. That was pretty interesting to watch from the sidelines.
I milked as much as I could out of that, which was funny because I was over in America and didn't even know like really that the Origin was on. Honestly, had never heard of Matt Burton, like no offense, but I just don't follow rugby. And then post the video of Jordan Berry hitting like a massive, massive punt. And yeah, everyone's like, oh, Matt Burton could do better, rah, rah, rah. And then I was just like, I looked up who he was. I was like, oh, okay. And then, and yes, massive kick. But yeah, just played it up and every video got like 400,000 views and stuff. So I was just kept doing it. Just kept like trolling these NRL fans.
You're just reeling in the fish, hey?
Yeah. It's actually sad. It's kind of what you have to do these days to get views. But no, like I did it in good spirits, and even made a YouTube video on it, like on like kicking. I went out and kicked a rugby ball and compared it with a Sharon and an NFL ball. And yeah, bloody hard to kick, I tell you that much. So credit to Burton. He actually smacks it.
Yeah, no, he gets them under the good. So I suppose, yeah, looking at, I suppose, the styles of kicking, you teach both AFL and NFL. Do you sort of believe that the AFL style of kicking in Aussies in the game has transformed punting a bit or changed the game at all?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Especially like at the college level with the ability to roll out. And then you are seeing it coming a little bit more into the NFL. The banana kicks. Obviously the what they call end over end, or the what we call just a drop punt, like that was introduced years and years ago. But yeah, the ability to roll out and just get a bit more creative with the ball to keep it away from the returner is definitely something that us as Aussies have introduced.
Yeah. And I suppose, have you got like sort of any, what's sort of the next generation of guys looking like, especially out in your area? Have you got anyone that we should be keeping an eye on, especially from the Adelaide area?
I do indeed, but I won't drop his name just now. He's only 17. He's only young, but definitely be like, if he does everything right, which he's got his head perfectly screwed on, he has a massive kick. So he's doing the right thing. He's going to get himself time to develop and mature. But yeah, I think just wave after wave, the standard's getting higher. Chappie just has expectations and the training's getting more intense. And the, yeah, like I said, the
competition to get a scholarship is increasing. So yeah, just be better and better talent every year.
Yeah, it just pushes it further. And I suppose talking about like competitiveness to get a you know, a spot and things like that, this is sort of a bit of a hypothetical we were sort of talking about the other day. You know, with the rising popularity of like college football and the potential for essentially more spots because there's a lot more colleges over there, could you ever see a world where basically punting overtakes AFL as like a pathway to an elite sport?
I don't know. And I wouldn't say it should be. I think like if kids have the passion for AFL, like pursue that, but know that if it doesn't work out, you can try and be a punter. Like, not that it's a given to be a punter, but it's play with a bit more freedom, knowing that it's not the end of the world if footy doesn't work out. And that's what I thought. Like, I honestly thought my world was caving in. That's what it felt like. But to have punting was like, wow, like it was honestly better, a way better experience than my time in the AFL, granted the situation that I had. But yeah, just play with a bit more freedom and give it your best crack. And then if it doesn't work out, it should almost be like, yeah, you just go and try out for punting. And it's crazy to me that not every Aussie kid knows about it, because it's just life-changing.
Yeah, especially when I suppose you throw in like obviously the sporting aspect, but the student side of it. You know, you guys get to go over these elite colleges and universities and get, you know, a full ride for a degree, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Like, completely set you up with, an undergraduate degree. Guys are lucky enough to get a master's as well, or, you know, they may have got a undergrad here and then get their master's over there. And then just the connections, like the college, you know, alumni connections, and it's crazy. So yeah, you do it right and you can really set yourself up.
Yeah. Speaking of alumni connections, do you get to, you know, chat back with a lot of those guys like from the LSU days and West Virginia?
Yeah. So probably like more like the pro kick fraternity is probably the best chatting with all those guys. But yeah, definitely. Like if someone from LSU or West Virginia, like still keep in touch with my mates and stuff, but like connections that honestly I may have never met before, but say it's on LinkedIn and you've both went to the same university, like they just automatically just will want to chat to you or something like that. And especially when they realize, oh, you played there. So
yeah,
if you're like, probably hasn't had to occur with me, but like say if you're looking to get into a certain industry and then you've got alumni who are in that, you can definitely lean on them for support.
Yeah, and that's awesome to have. And especially like the pro kick fraternity. I do love that in a place where it can be competitive for spots, it really breeds like a great team environment with those boys.
100%. And like the guys I was with, like love them. And like a lot of them have gone on to really successful careers. And you hear about guys saying like of their, including college, like their college time, like their best whole punting experience was that 1 year training with pro kick.
No, it's good to hear. I suppose, looking forward to, you know, maybe the next year or the next 5 years for Josh, what do you think has in store for you? Or what are you sort of aiming to get to?
Yeah, I think aiming to expand back more into the NFL scene. So I am, you know, working with pro punters, not just with punting, but like with like their whole high performance training. So looking to do a bit more of that, and that can be done online, which is really cool. And then, that still kind of falls under the kicking consultant stuff and, you know, kind of in works with Pro Kick Australia. And then, getting the AFL kicking consultant stuff a bit, just keep continuing to grow that and maybe hiring some people, different coaches in different states. And I guess just getting it as good as I can. Like I've got my goals and I've got my focus, but definitely for me at the moment, like get a bit more back into the NFL stuff.
It's certainly a cool market. And I suppose does that ever look at like maybe moving over to the US at any point, or are you pretty happy at home?
Oh, I'm pretty keen to move to Europe, to be honest. Base myself out of Spain, so that's what's great about I guess my online business is I can do a bit of that. So we go to America every year with the Pro Kick US tour. So that kind of scratches my itch of the US, but definitely being in Europe makes it a bit easier, a bit like not so long a flight to get there. So yeah, we'll see. Maybe go live in Mexico for a bit where I'm at least in the same time zone. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
I like the world's your oyster by the sounds. Well, look, thank you, Josh. We really appreciate you having on. It's been great to talk to you, and we can't wait to see what the future holds.
No, awesome. Thanks so much, Zach. It's been great.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.